This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. The new year is upon us, a time of endings and new beginnings as we close one year, looking forward to the fresh new year to come. Many of us considering resolutions, pausing to take stock of who and where we are in the journeys of our lives. Perhaps we should consider that a life well lived is not about getting stuff, doing stuff, and having stuff. It's really all about being true to who we are, living our moments and our daily lives fully, moving us to the call of Jesus our Christ. Make the commitment now to spend time daily reading your Bible and meditating on His Word. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us for worship Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school in Rock Springs. The new year is upon us. Are you ready?
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, January 23rd, 2022, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Well, good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, today, let us remember that we worship the God that created this world, the God who led His people from captivity, who healed the sick, and fed the hungry. Help us to understand that same power and grace is in the world today. Let us reject evil wherever we find it and be drawn instead by love and grace, to know His forgiveness and the joy of salvation. Let us join together in worship and praise, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Our gracious and loving God, hear our hearts as we lift them before You. And Father, we are reminded that we should lift them regularly, often, fervently, in humility to bow ourselves, our hearts, our prides, our agendas, put them all aside, and spend time with You. For Father, You know the truth as it is anyway. You know the deepest, darkest places of our hearts. So, Father, hear our hearts. Hear our prayers. Father, as we lift each other up this morning, seeking forgiveness for our sins and strength to forgive others. Father, we pray for our hurts, our pains, both physically, mentally, and, Father, regretfully, maybe even spiritually. Father, we pray that You would help us in our struggles, heal us in our brokenness, strengthen us in our service. And Father, help us to see You, seek You, and serve You. Help us, Father. Lord, help us. Not only in touching our hearts, but the needs of those who are there in our heart, and we remember every single day. We lift them up. They're constantly on our minds. And Father, for whatever reason that may be, You know. And we pray that You would just touch them in Your will and by Your grace. Father, we pray for our church. We pray that You would let us see You at work, that we would grasp the revelation that You would have for us as a church, as a body of Christ here in this community. Father, that You would work with us, work in us, and through us, that You may be glorified in the name of Jesus our Christ, that people would be drawn to You in the name of Jesus Christ.
that, Father, we could be a beacon of hope, of your hope, of your love, of your grace, and your mercy. For, Father, we don't have anything on our own to offer except brokenness and tears. But with you, we have hope that springs eternal. We have a limitless resource of love, grace, and mercy to heal the brokenness of our community, indeed our nation and the world, if people would but come to you. And Father, we do pray for other churches, leaders in our nation, leaders around the world. Father, we would pray that service of others above self, honesty, integrity, and truth would ring clear in the world around us, and that truth would once again be honored. And Father, we pray that the lies and schemes of the evil ones come unraveled and are revealed for what they are: doubt, deception. So, Father, as we pray for those who serve our country, we pray for those who work in the medical fields, who work in emergency responders and law enforcement, military. Father, we pray for those nurses, doctors, physicians. Father, we pray that they treat patients with dignity, with mercy, and grace. And, Father, we pray today for those who are shut-ins in their own homes. We pray for those who care for them. We pray for those who are in other facilities. And Father, they may not find it where they want to be, but may they find you with them there. And now we pray that you would hear us as we join our hearts and our voices to pray together, as you taught your disciples, say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our liturgy for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The word of God for the people of God.
When we look at our Christian faith, we look at the church. When I talk about the church, and those of you who are wrong enough realize, I don't speak about religion. I don't talk about denomination. Because it isn't about religion, and it isn't about denomination. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. It's about John 14 and 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come unto the Father but by me. It's that very statement that should unite every person that is a believer. I don't want to say Christian. That's kind of a little more vague. But a believer, a follower. But in our world today, we see many calamities befalling humanity. We see great divides, who's at work. We see great divisions, who's at work. We see great divisions, who's at work. We see great doubts, who's at work. Anywhere those things are found, Satan is in that mix, stirring that pot. Jesus says to do two things. One is every time you get together, church, you break bread together in my name. Every time he wants us to do that, we break bread together. He said every time you come together, you break bread together. And you do this in the name of the name of what I've done in the future. Do that. But do you realize that we... How many of you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Okay. How many of you believe that he's the only way to heaven? The only way to God? Okay. Now, is that not basically what makes us believers? Because we believe? Isn't that, if you would, the common ground? Shouldn't that be the nucleus of who we are as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ? Should that not be who we are? But do you realize that you can't leave this church as a believer and go to many other churches and participate in their ministries? Do you realize you're not allowed to have their communion? Do you realize that you can't join their fellowship until you comply with their regulations? There's division in the world around us, definitely, but there's great division even within the body of Christ. One, really? I question whether the body of Christ today is one or not. I'm not talking about Methodist. Lord, have mercy. We can't even decide on baptism. I've been going to annual conferences since 1982. I've been a clergy for 30 years, and we still can't decide what we write them in the book as. Whether they're baptized, preparatory, we don't know. It changes. Every 4 years we get a new definition of what it means to be a baptized person. Oh. But then, you know, I think we could solve a lot of problems within the faith community, and I'm not just talking about us, but I think we could solve, to be honest, I think... Never mind, I'll get there in a minute. I think we could solve a lot of problems if we would decide to follow this rather than our own inclinations. conscience. I think that if we would put this back as the authority in the church, there would be a lot of things change. It would be difficult in a lot of places. But this needs to be first. Wesley said that primary in every decision that we make should be Scripture. What does the Word of God say? Folks, if it's wrong in here, it's still wrong. It don't matter if it's 2,000 years old, 3,000 years old, it's wrong. Paul is writing a letter to the church at Corinth about being unified because they're already splintering. It's 50 AD. It's only 20 years since Jesus has been crucified, and the church is already splintering. It's already fractured. It's already dividing. It's saying, I believe Apollos, and I believe this one, and I believe that. It's beginning to line up behind man, and the devil's is at work, and he's sowing seeds of doubt and division into the midst of the family of God. He is dividing the church, and it has arrived at 2022, and the body of Christ is more divided today than it's ever been in the history of the church. We are fractured, we are splintered, we can't even agree on the day of the week we should worship. Or the time. It doesn't say when. It says when you assemble yourselves together. It doesn't say on which day. There isn't a perfect day to have church. The day to have church is when God is leading you to have it. There is more division in the church today over little things. The Catholic Church went through a season that you could not touch the communion bread. Did you know that? They got the little wafer and they snapped it in their finger and you went, I'm not joking. And they put it on your tongue. Then they would give you a sip of the cup and you had to show them you swallowed it. They had to do a food check. You think I'm joking. Because people were actually not swallowing it and taking that little piece of bread and going out and breaking it and give it to other people so they could have communion too. But they couldn't allow that. The only way communion was official was if this clergy gave it to them. Division. Those old boys sitting around that table in that upper room, I don't think they'd been to seminary. You know, I just have a feeling that they had never learned much about Old Testament history. Well, maybe they did. That is, after all, their Bible. So the church began to form in little houses, little communities, little groups. When you hear about Paul going down to Corinth to start a church, don't you think for a minute he had a massive building project and built a temple on the corner? Took him 5 city blocks and could park 87 cars and 22 handicaps. That meant there was a group of 10 or 12 people that were meeting in somebody's house and talking about Jesus, breaking bread together, sharing in this journey and telling other people because they had received something. Oh, let's talk about what they had received. You see, it should be the same thing that we receive today. It should be the same thing for every believer today. You see, Jesus is the way unto heaven. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And I think Christian churches around the world today believe that. I believe that at least we can get there. We can't get much of any place else altogether, but we can at least get there. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Anybody know what it says? Do you folks read your book? Just read the four Gospels. If you don't read anything else, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then go read them again. They'll help you a lot. How in the world are you going to know if I'm telling you the truth if you ain't looking? You actually got closer than anybody else I heard the Great Commission. Jesus said, for you people to go into every place and preach the gospel that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to get there, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all things that I've taught you. Memorize that, church, for heaven's sakes. That's our walking orders. That should be what we are all about. That's the mission of the church. That is why the church was formed and existed, was to tell people about Jesus. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He wants everybody to be saved. But Jesus never baptized anybody in the river. Do you remember John the Baptist? Come on, you remember him, don't you? He dressed well, right? He ate like a king, right? He was quite the opposite. What did he say about this Jesus dude? What did he say? Come on. I've been preaching this for the last weeks. I've been getting you here. We had baptism of the Lord Sunday 2 weeks ago. Preached about this. Jesus was coming down to the river, you know. John said, there's one among you who you don't even understand, whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. Remember? Come on. Getting there? Okay. And he said what? I'm going to baptize you in the water. But he, that one that's coming, that Jesus guy, that Messiah, that Son of God, the one we're talking about here, just that same one, by the way. You do know that, right? He said he ain't going to baptize you with no water. He's going to baptize you with two things, fire and the Holy Spirit. He's going to cleanse you with fire and baptize you with the Holy Spirit, not water, not water, not water. Every believer, says the Apostle Paul, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. It is the Holy Spirit that we are baptized in. Water, there's not enough water to do you any good. There's not enough water to wash off one part of one sin. There isn't enough water. You can't stir it enough, boil it enough, sanitize it enough to get one sin washed away. It's the blood of Jesus. You accept Christ, your sins are gone. And then you receive every single believer, everybody who says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto God, receives the same baptism. The water baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, signifying to every one of us that you did something. That's baptism here. That ain't baptism at any other church in the city of Rock Springs. Do you realize that? That's the Methodist Church's belief and view of baptism. It ain't the same thing at Ordinary Faith. It ain't the same thing at the Catholic Church. It ain't the same thing at the Episcopal Church. It isn't the same thing at the Lutheran Church. And it's even different between the two Lutheran churches. Whew. Do you think the devil's had a good time? Folks, he has divided the body of Christ into little sects and groups, and all we want to do is argue about stuff that really don't matter. One. The church is so divided today it don't have any teeth, and look at the world around us. Morality in the ditch. Integrity in the ditch. Honesty in the ditch. All of the things that we as Christians should hold dear are being ignored in our societies and cultures around the world. I'm so tired of seeing headlines about a carload of kids and I ain't talking about a Buick, I'm talking about a train, that they find being sex trafficked. I'm tired of them going through our cities and picking up dead bodies every morning because they didn't have any place to stay. I'm tired of people who stand up and lie to suit their own agendas. I'm tired of an absence of integrity. I'm tired of dishonesty. It's the norm. It's accepted. The problem is it's godlessness, and the church is at fault. Godless people do godless things. We are so splintered in the church of Jesus Christ today that we don't have teeth, we don't have unity, we don't know where we're going, and we don't know what to do. Let me ask you a question. It's all right that there's a dozen, two dozen churches in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If everybody that professed they were a Christian decided to go to church on Sunday morning, they wouldn't have any place to sit. Did you know that? But we're divided. Man, churches divide on whose pew you're sitting in. Have you ever got one of them looks when you go visit someplace? Don't you lie, you have. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But what you may be sitting there thinking about is, I'm in my seat and they better not be in it. I'll give them the look. I got there a little late and somebody's in it. So I'm going to stand here until they move. The church is divided. Can you hear me? The church is divided over stuff that don't matter. One thing that matters is that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in our lives. And that we are serving Him and not ourselves. And that we're letting the Word of God lead us and guide us and direct us. Folks, the world will not teach you and your kids and my grandkids morality. That comes from God. But we can't have church in school. We can't have church in politics. What does that leave? Why have we sat back, put our teeth on the table, and decided to sip hot chocolate? Why can't we get along in the body of Christ? Why must we be divided? Because the devil don't want us together. What do you think would happen if we decided in Rock Springs, Wyoming, that we were going to take down the denominational divides and focus on loving as Christ had called us? And we stopped worrying about whether we were Baptist or Methodist or nothing. And just started loving one another. What if all of a sudden it didn't matter which one you went to? It's fine that there's plenty of them. Paul didn't just have one in Corinth. There were several. They would pop up. Because I believe that the biblical precedence is that the church isn't a mega church, but it's small groups. Typically of 200 or less. Well, you know. You see, there's some nice... How many of you have ever been to a big church? You know what the best thing about a big church is? You can go in, sit down at 10 services, and leave, and nobody even notice you were there. You may have somebody give you a bulletin, somebody shake your hand, you may feel real welcome, but you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to be part of nothing. You ain't nobody holding you accountable. You can hide in the numbers. You can't do that in a little church, can you? Nor can you in the biblical church. You see, it was about accountability. Iron sharpens iron. It's about helping each other, knowing each other. I want you to stand up for a second. I'm going to give you just a little test. Just stand up. Now I want you to look around. Do you see anybody you do not know? Why? Why don't you know them? Because they ain't spoke to you, have you spoke to them? You can have a seat. Why don't you know everybody, Cleve? because you ain't went to check on them. You ain't went to find out who they are. You haven't even went and asked them their name. Folks, that's what's wrong. You can have a seat. We don't even know who we sat with on Sunday morning. And you go, well, they don't speak to me. You know what I hear? Well, they get gone too quick. They ain't gone right now. You already been here 42 minutes. And there was a time when you were singing a minute ago, and I saw some of you. Your lips wasn't moving. You was looking at the book. So you could have took that time to go over and check him out. Cleve, he's only one pew in front of you. Go up there and say, who are you? I'm Cleve. How many of you have ever been faced with not knowing somebody's name and were too ashamed to speak to them because you couldn't remember? Or how many times have you went to hunt somebody that could tell you who they were? Don't you tell me you ain't done it. I have got past that in my life. I do. I see people all the time. Pastor Jim, how are you doing? I don't know you, but I'm doing okay. Well, you did mama's service. I said, I don't remember. I slept. This erases my memory. Three blinks and it's gone. It starts over. Sorry I was picking on you, Cleve. I love you, brother. But here's the deal. The reason we don't know is we don't take a chance. We don't get out of our seat. We don't get out of our norm. We in our little spot. We in our little space. We're doing our little thing. Worried about our little group. And our, even in the same building. Lord, help us. And we ain't alone in it. We're not alone. And the world reflects what the church isn't doing. We should be one. There shouldn't be dividing lines. Sure. We can agree to disagree. But let me tell you, we're the same Lord, the same Christ, and the same Spirit. Pastor, you got a little rough on us there. Yeah. But you ain't seen nothing yet. My friends, we have come to the time, as the old saying goes, are we going to cut bait or fish? Jesus calls to be fishers of men. It's time for us to put a hook in the water. It's time to lay down that which divides us and lift up that which unites us. It's time for us to serve Christ, to love one another, to live lives of integrity, honesty, and to influence the world in a way that Christ could be seen and God honored. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. Pastor, I fall short, but I'm going to try to do better. Pray for me. If that'll be you, slip your hand up and take it right back. Pastor, I feel the divide, and I feel like the church isn't doing what it could. Pray that I'll do my part in that. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand. Amen. Pastor, I just struggle with it. I've got my prejudices. I've got my preferences, and I'm pretty stuck in them. Pray for me that I'll open up some. Slip your hand up and take it right back. Pastor, I want to see the church united, not divided. I'm going to pray for that this week. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I want people to know Jesus and His love, grace, and forgiveness. And I'm going to work on that this week. If you'll do that, I want to pray for you. Slip your hand up. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, this morning I would pray that we here this morning would know each other, share each other, get to know each other, and walk together. And Father, I pray this morning that the divide within the churches would disappear, that the division, the doubt, and deception would go away. Father, I would pray that every Christian, every person who truly believes in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, would have the scales of deception fall from their eyes, that they would be renewed in their heart, renewed in their spirit, and a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit would fall upon your church, that we would lay down the lines and step out with each other, arm in arm. For Father, that old song we sang is true. We are the church. I pray that we would be united. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. By God's grace, we go to be the church. By God's love, we go to share His love. By His Spirit, we are led. And may we do all things to honor and glorify Him. And may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with us and bless us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.